prayer tonight that we would be a generation that would seek the Lord's face. You know, for too long we've been a people that seek more and better and greater and higher, never satisfied. And even as churches, even though well-intentioned, we've done the same thing. We seek for greater numbers, more professions, more baptisms, more this, more that. And it's for, at least we tell ourselves, it's for the sake of the kingdom of God. But you know what? The Lord doesn't tell us to grow His kingdom. The Lord tells us to seek Him. Seek first His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. How different would it be if we would be a generation that seeks His face, first and foremost? Then maybe He'll bring all those other things. And maybe He won't. But if we seek His face, we'll be satisfied. What a great prayer. Lord, let us be a generation that seeks Your face. As we continue, and I I haven't done this before because where I've pastored before, we didn't have an evening service on Mother's Day. So I would only do the one Mother's Day message. And as I thought about, Lord, what do You want us to do this evening? It's just continuing. So as we continue to honor the mothers among us, and by the way, part of the reason for that is it shouldn't just be today, and it shouldn't just be part of the day. We need to honor our mothers and the women among us every day. So it's fitting to continue to look to Scripture to see what the Lord has to say about mothers and the role of women among us. After all, the Bible places a premium on the honor that we give to parents. The fifth commandment is to honor our father and our mother. And this is the only commandment that comes with its own special promise, saying, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's the only commandment with promise. Jesus Himself demonstrates a special honor for His earthly mother. One of His last acts from the cross was to provide for her continued welfare and support by commending her to His most trusted disciple. Since 1914, the United States has set aside today, the second Sunday of May, as a national observance to remember and honor the work and legacy of mothers. But motherhood and womanhood have been celebrated and honored by God from time immemorial. So we're not special here in America because we do that. We're going to look today at one of the most well-known of the passages of Scripture that celebrate and honor godly women. So if you want to be turning, we'll be looking at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, and like we did this morning, or sought to this morning, we'll continue to address all women. Because even though our nation sets aside today specifically for mothers, God's design inseparably links womanhood with motherhood. In God's commission to man and woman when He created them, He said to be fruitful and multiply. And that kind of, that assumes that part of the God-designed role for women is to become mothers. Now, because of sin entering the world, our world isn't perfect. There are many godly women in the world today who would love to be celebrating motherhood, but for any number of reasons, just are not. And yet these are women who pour out their love into others' children, who share their wisdom and life experience with other young women and mothers, and who even in their lack of biological children have become motherly figures to adopted or to spiritual children. So we honor all women who have risen to their God-given calling and station in life. And men, I know we're a little bit outnumbered here tonight, but we need to hear this. Because this honor that we bestow is not to be a token gesture. We're to honor women today and every day. And we need to recognize that chauvinism has no place in the body of Christ. There are too many males in the world today that want to flout a perceived superiority over women. And many will even cite Scripture to back that up because, after all, Peter refers to women as a weaker vessel. But in that same passage found in 1 Peter 3:7, Peter admonishes men to honor their wives. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul teaches us that in the body of Christ, we are to show more honor to those parts of the body that are perceived to be weaker or less honorable. So even for those who want to try that argument, it biblically holds no water. Generally speaking, men are created with more physical strength and the capacity for brute force. But this singular physical advantage was not given by God in order to be lorded over women, but rather to be used to serve the women God has given us by providing for and protecting them, and thus honoring them. Just as we employ the strength of locks and security systems to protect our homes and the possessions of value that we cherish, so we are to employ our God-given strength to protect and honor the women that God has given us to cherish. But even saying that, we'll see today that our passage begins with a search for a woman of virtue. And in our culture today, we read into the word virtue a meaning denoting traits of moral excellence. And that's not far off, but the Hebrew word in the original text is defined as strength, might, valiance, ability, or wealth. Our passage today seeks out a strong and a valiant woman. See, just because Peter refers to women as a, quote, weaker vessel, that doesn't in any way intimate that women are weak. Much to the contrary, in God's design, being a woman and a mother is an incredibly high calling and a daunting task. You know how I know? Because men just can't do it. Guys, if we're honest with ourselves, we know we can't be moms. Men can't do it. Women are stronger than us, at least in that respect. It's fitting that the Bible speaks much of honoring the women among us, and it's fitting that in his final moments, Jesus honored his mother by ensuring that she would be cared for. Segments of culture today are trying to blur or even erase the distinctions between male and female. We've seen that with the transgender and all that good stuff. The prevalence of talk about women's liberation or toxic masculinity. These concepts are eroding the bedrock of our society. And ultimately will take our society into further bondage. Because the ultimate goal is to suppress the image of God and the glory of God expressed in God's gift of gender. And the equal yet differing roles to which he calls each. But if we obtain a proper biblical understanding, we see that motherhood, folks, is not a burden. It's a blessing and a divine stewardship. We see that womanhood is not a state of discrimination, but rather a unique opportunity to demonstrate the glory of God as expressed through biblical femininity. So as we proceed, let's hear what God's word has to say about the honor of womanhood and the motherly nature that accompanies it. For mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, adoptive mothers, and even for the young women here who someday aspire to be wives and mothers. Hear how God describes the high calling that he's placed on you. And for us men, let us hear that high calling and thank God for the strength of the women and the mothers that God has blessed us to have and to know. Let's see how the glory of God is demonstrated through the life and ministry of a virtuous woman like the one found here. So as we read, as you're able, would you stand in reverence for the reading of the Word of God? In Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10, the Word of God says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray together. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. But more than that, Lord, we ask that you consecrate your word, that it may permeate our hearts as your spirit gives us eyes to see and ears to hear as you speak to us tonight. Lord, help us to honor the women among us. But Lord, more than that, let us hear the high calling and let us aspire to it. In so doing, Lord, may we be a generation that seeks your face for the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So let me first point out a couple observations, and then we'll outline the main themes. First, we already discussed the meaning of the word virtue in Hebrew. But now consider the context. The beginning of the chapter informs us that this passage is a prophecy that the king's mother taught him. So the mother is advising her son and says, "Who can find a virtuous or strong and valiant woman?" The context indicates that the type of woman about to be described is not commonly found, but is something to be desired and sought out. And because this comes from Holy Scripture, it tells us that we as men should aspire to find such a woman, or should have aspired to find such a woman. Don't go looking for another one. And it also tells women that they should aspire to be such as is described. But why? It's found in the rest of that verse. It says, "Her price is far above rubies." Now, the popular adage is that diamonds are a girl's best friend, right? But in truth, rubies are more rare and more valuable than diamonds. According to gem expert Chris Ralph, he said, The very finest, top-quality ruby is so rare that it has been the world's most valued gemstone for thousands of years. In fact, even today, flawless, top-quality rubies are more valuable and rare than top-quality, colorless diamonds. A 16-carat ruby sold at auction for $227,301 per carat at Sotheby's in 1988. That's pretty rich. Valuable. But who sets their value? Just as with anything in all of history, an item's value is actually set by the purchaser, right? I mean, we can put a price tag on something, but if no one's willing to pay that price, what's it actually worth? It's worth what someone will pay for it. If we go shopping for a car, but we think the price is too high and don't purchase it, then it wasn't that valuable to us. And every time we go to the gas pump, we may complain about the price of gas. I don't know about you, but I do. But we buy it anyway because we value the ability to drive where we want to go more than we value the nearly $3 we pay for each gallon. We determine the value of any object based on what we're willing to give in exchange for it. And so this strong woman is valued more than the rarest and most valuable gemstone on earth. And the indication is that when a man finds a woman such as the one here described, he should be willing to pay any price, to give anything he must, to make her his own. That's how valuable she is and how honored she is. And so I got to ask, men, do we honor our wives like this? Before anyone complains, know that my toes are hurting. Children, are you honoring your mothers like this? Are we teaching our daughters to wait for a young man who will honor and value her like this? See, it's not enough to simply say the words, or are we demonstrating to our women and mothers how valuable they are to us? Not just today, but every day. Do they know from our actions and our words that they are more precious to us than anything money can buy? Now here's another observation before we dig into the description. In the Hebrew, the whole passage is not structured as a series of wise sayings like much of the rest of the book of Proverbs. This section is a poem. It's structured as an acrostic. Each of the 22 verses begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, Hebrew poetry isn't like English poetry. It's not defined by rhyme scheme or meter. Rather, Hebrew poetry is organized by structures or by repetition. And so more than one of the Psalms is marked by this acrostic type structure. So this passage could be arguably called a song. As such, we're not going to find the themes neatly wrapped up in sections. Instead, we find them kind of woven throughout the structure. So looking verse by verse through the passage won't benefit us as much as just looking at it as a whole. And so with that in mind, let's look at a few of these traits that characterize a strong woman and the mother described here. This picture of biblical womanhood. And with that, let's also remember that we have to contextualize things. I get tickled every Valentine's Day because I see these memes where people create Valentines based on the Song of Solomon. Have you all seen those? Where it's unlikely compliments. You know, a Valentine sent to someone saying, "Your hair is like a flock of goats." Any of you ladies going to just swoon over that one? You have to look and see what is being said there. Because the compliments don't exactly translate. And just kind of like in here, it says that she is like the merchant's ships. I dare say Jessica's not going to take it kindly if I say, "Hey, you look like a boat today." That's not the point. So we have to contextualize the imagery here. By the way, you don't look like a boat, baby. I love you. You're beautiful. So we'll contextualize the things so that they make a little more sense. But the first thing we see is that the virtuous woman is faithful. She's faithful. We see it in verses 11 and 12. It says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." This woman is trustworthy and faithful. She is steadfastly loyal to her husband and meets his needs so that he never has need to look anywhere else. He doesn't live in fear that she may leave or look for greener pastures. He trusts her and needs only look to her. He knows that his best interests are in her heart, and trust that she will not mistreat, cheat, or otherwise breach that trust. You know, in this day and age, it is equally difficult to find a faithful man and a faithful woman. So how precious and valuable it is to find such a one. So if you have found a faithful partner in whom your heart trusts, honor him or her today. Second thing we see is that she is industrious. The virtuous woman is industrious. this is one of those places where we have to contextualize. We see it throughout the passage in verses 13 through 16, and then in verse 19, and then in verse 24. Now, the economy of our current time is a lot different from when it's written, so we got to consider how to apply it today. While the spinning wheel was once a common asset in any house, how many of you ladies have spinning wheels in your house today? Any of y'all real facile with a distaff? See, we just don't do it today. There's not currently a need for women to learn once again to spin in order to be that virtuous woman. So if we read beyond the words, we find that today a woman of virtue is industrious. She's industrious. She takes seriously the stewardship that she's been given and utilizes her gifts and her talents to redeem her time. In verse 13, she seeks out work in order to be productive, being proactive rather than reactive. In verse 14, she searches out the best for her family, even if it means searching long distances and waiting for the best things. In verse 15, she does whatever it takes in order to provide for her household, even if it means she loses sleep. In verse 16, she's entrepreneurial and a wise investor of her time and resources. In verses 19 and 24, she employs her gifts, her talents, and the skills that she has learned and practiced in order to benefit her household. Verse 23 says that she does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, that's not to say that she never rests or never relaxes, but that she takes seriously the stewardship she's been given and utilizes the resources at her disposal to make the most of her time. She's industrious. So how many of us are glad to say that we've been blessed by wives and mothers who have worked hard and tirelessly to provide a home, an education, a refuge from the world for her family? I'm thankful for both. I'm thankful that my mother worked tirelessly to serve us, and that Jessica does the same for our family now. If you could say the same, then honor them. Their value is priceless, far above rubies. Another thing we see is that she is bold. She's bold. Verses 17 and 18 paint a picture of a bold woman. She girds her loins with strength, it says. And that's a word picture usually reserved to describe the actions of men. In that time, men would wear long flowing robes, cloaks, whatever it would be. But it was long and flowing down near the ground. And you know, if you take off trying to run or do something with that kind of flowing material, it's likely to get in the way. So they would gather it up, run it between legs or whatever, and cinch it at the waist. They would gird up the loins so that they were free and ready to work, run, do battle, whatever it was they needed to do. Well, this says she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She's preparing to do battle with whatever may come to hinder her in her mission. She knows that her merchandise is of high quality, and her candle doesn't go out at night. She's confident in her work and her ministry, and she doesn't give up, even when the days seem long spent. So have you been blessed by women in your life who have modeled confidence and boldness for you? Yeah, I've not even been here a year yet, but I've already met many godly women in this church who've modeled that for me, and I consider myself blessed. Let's honor them. We also find that the virtuous woman is compassionate. Verse 20 points out to us that her boldness is tempered by compassion and mercy. She extends her hand to help those in need. And this too is a Christ-like quality. As many times in the Gospels we're told that Jesus looked out over the masses and was moved with compassion for them. God prizes and honors a compassionate heart. My mom didn't have much when we were young, but no one ever came to our house hungry and left the same way. She never turned a neighbor away if they needed something that we could provide. And at the same time, she never felt guilty about the fact that she didn't have what someone may need either. We can only work with the resources God gives us. But she taught us to be generous when others had needs. And in my family, we continue to teach that today with hospitality and compassion. So is your home occupied by or have you been impacted by the compassionate heart of a virtuous woman? If you have, honor her. Honor her. A virtuous woman is prepared. She's prepared. In verses 21 and 22, and then in verse 27, we see that a virtuous woman is prepared. She doesn't fear foul weather or economic downturns because she's prepared. She's clothed or covered herself and her family well, meaning not only that they have adequate clothing, but also adequate preparations to cover them in any event. She thinks ahead and prepares ahead of time for contingencies so that her family can dwell safely and with peace of mind. So we need to honor the women in our lives today that have provided food in the pantry, clothes in the closet, a rainy day savings fund, or any of those other numerous little ways in which a virtuous woman shows that she's thinking ahead and is prepared for what may come. Virtuous woman is also well reputed. Verses 23, 25, and 31 all help to illustrate that a virtuous woman is well reputed. We already know that she's rare and valuable, and because of that, she has a good name. In verse 23, she is the glory of her husband. Boy, some of us don't like that, do we? Some of us in our male pride, we want to think that we're the glory of our families. But this tells us that, men, if we have found a virtuous woman, she's the glory of her husband. That he's well known in the community, largely based on her. In verses 25 and 31, she stands on her own, clothed in strength and honor, while her own works testify to her in the community. We all benefit from the testimonies of the virtuous women God has gifted to us. The world around us sees what a blessing they are as their own works praise them in the gates. So, and again, I'll admit, I'm stepping on my own toes here, and they need to be stepped on. But how is it that too often we fail to honor them ourselves? Let's fix it, men. The virtuous woman is cherished. She's cherished. Verses 28, 29 show us a proper response to the blessing of a virtuous woman among us. Her children rise up and bless her, as does her husband. The Bible says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Now, admittedly, that last phrase may show a little bit of author's bias, but there's truth to it. A virtuous woman who displays the characteristics that we see today will be noticed by her family. Maybe not today, but someday. I remember when I did not appreciate my mother's discipline or her wisdom as much as I do now. But now I look back and realize that she was the best. Right? I mean, she was better than all of them. I'll fight you about it. I'm just kidding. I won't fight you about it because we all feel that way. We all feel that way. And I'm thankful for my wife. She's excellent. I don't tell her enough. So, like I said, I'm stepping all over myself. But she is a virtuous, I mean, she is a strong, valiant, and capable woman that God has given me. I'm blessed. And I honor you today. Many have done wonderful things, but at least in my eyes, she's the best. She excels them all. Can you say the same for your mother, for your wife, for your daughter? If so, honor them today. Finally, the last thing we see is that she's wise. The virtuous woman is wise. Verses 26 and 30 prove the point. She opens her mouth with wisdom. But verse 30 says that she fears the Lord. Well, earlier in Proverbs, we hear repeatedly that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A virtuous woman reveres God and worships Him. She submits to His lordship, meaning she surrenders to His plan and the role He has for her. Every other trait that we've mentioned here is an outgrowth of her reverence for God, and that makes her wise. Let it rain. It makes her wise. She's able to open her mouth and teach others, her children, her husband, other young women and mothers, because she has learned the wisdom that comes from God and has been taught by it herself. So are you thankful today that you have a wife or a mother who loves and fears the Lord, who has gained wisdom from that relationship? After all, maybe some of us are only here today because a God-fearing mother or wife had the wisdom and the compassion to pray for us until we were saved. Honor those women today. Here's the exciting part of all that, because as we can see from the Bible's description of the virtuous woman, being a godly woman and mother is a very high calling. So while we honor our mothers today, we also honor all women today who are striving to attain this standard, because we all, like children, learn and benefit from the example that you provide. Now, none are perfect. I dare say none of you ladies here, would any of you raise your hand and confess to possess all of these qualities completely? If you would, I need to pray for you. Because you won't. Why? Because you've got some wisdom. None of us is perfect. Yet the opening question, who can find, indicates that while such is rare, it is a worthy pursuit. It is worth seeking to come nearer to that goal, because in the pursuit of such, you demonstrate to the world the glory of God. And you might be asking how. The truth is that womanhood, understood biblically, is a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You model for us who we should strive to be as a church. Whew, isn't that something? Repeatedly in Scripture, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul writes, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And he continues that simile in verses 25 through 27, saying, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church." And he then goes on to make his point explicit in verses 31, 32, saying, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church." Husband and wife is a great mystery about Christ and his church. You see, the biblical roles for men and women are not arbitrarily decided in an effort to discriminate one against another, but are rather divinely designed in order to demonstrate the glory of God by mirroring the relationship of Jesus Christ to his church. Ultimately, the church of Jesus Christ is the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, the woman of virtue that our Lord seeks. So as we honor our mothers and the women in our lives for the godly characteristics that they strive to exhibit, we have to ask ourselves, are we as a church living up to the example that they set? Now think of it, as a church, that means corporately, but also each of us as members in particular of it. When we speak, do we open our mouths with wisdom that grows out of a proper reverence of the Lord? Are we prepared for the times of storm and snow? having girded ourselves and all our family with the clothing necessary to face those times, and that clothing being the armor of God. Are we bold in standing for the truth, knowing from experience that our merchandise, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that our merchandise is good and profitable? Are we bold enough to never give up and never let our lamp go out, even when the dark times come? Do we, with Paul, say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto them which trust in Him? Is our boldness then tempered with compassion as we, with the heart of Jesus, reach out our hands to those in need to provide what help that we can, while leading them to the shepherd who can supply every need? Are we industrious, utilizing our gifts, our skills, our talents, whatever they may be, in order to redeem the time in these evil days and make the most of every moment in order to benefit our family, our community, and the kingdom? Are we diligent in seeking out opportunities to labor for the Lord, demonstrating ingenuity and entrepreneurship at times to steward well all that He has given us? Some of these are hard questions, by the way, but they're worth asking. Are we as a church well reputed in the community? Does Jesus receive praise in the community because of the example that we set? Are we faithful? Can the heart of Jesus safely trust in us? Do we do the Lord good and never evil? Do we bring honor to His name in the ways that we live our daily lives? Are we cherished? And by that I mean, do our children, those who have come to faith in Christ as a result of our faithful witness, do they rise up and call First Baptist Church of Mossy Head blessed? Are we worthy of the praise of Jesus Himself? Can He say to us, many daughters have done virtuously, but Thou excellest them all? And just like with our wives, our mothers, our daughters, none of whom have attained perfection yet, we are not perfect as a church. But are we striving to be that church? Are we striving to be that virtuous woman whom the King of Glory is seeking? Regardless of where we are in our progress, we can know this. We are loved. We are cherished. The Lord Jesus set out to search for a virtuous church to be His bride. And in that search, He claimed we who are saved as His own. And in His word, He deigned to extol her virtues in Proverbs 31. But remember the structure of the passage. It's not a series of wise sayings. It's an acrostic poem. It's a song. He sings the praise of His glorious church. It recalls to mind the promise in Zephaniah 3:17, where the prophet says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee in singing." Folks, the Lord has found His virtuous woman, His church, and He rejoices over her with singing. Her price is far above rubies. Remember, we said that the value of an item is set by the one who purchases it? Jesus considered His church so valuable that He paid a price for her of His own life. He bought it with His own blood. In Acts 20:28, Paul commends the elders to steward well their responsibility to care for the Lord's church, telling them to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. The church, folks, we are the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. The Lord sought us out and bought us with His blood, not because we were already perfect, but because He loved us and knew what we could become with His help. That's why He sanctifies us. Remember, Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So ladies, mothers, grandmothers, adoptive mothers, spiritual mothers, and mothers-to-be, I hope that you have felt honored today, not for your perfection, but for your high calling and your journey toward it. We honor you because God has chosen the virtues of women to demonstrate for us what we should strive to be as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. We honor you because just as the church is precious to Jesus, you're precious to us. So thank you for modeling strength, wisdom, faithfulness, industry, boldness, compassion, and preparation, all of that for us. For that, may all of the husbands and the children here this evening continue to rise up and call you blessed. And in the meantime, may we all take comfort in knowing that the Lord Jesus, He calls us blessed. He cherishes us and has given Himself for us in order to sanctify us. In light of His great love toward us, may we commit ourselves to endeavor to become more and more like that virtuous bride about which He sings. As we prepare to close, if you're here tonight, because I can't know everyone's heart, but if you're here tonight and you don't know the joy of salvation, if you don't know what it is to be so cherished by the Lord, you can know Him today. If the Spirit is stirring within you to seek Christ for salvation, that is the Lord searching you out. He loves His church, and He still desires to add to His church all those who will seek Him for salvation. Will you come today as we sing and seek Him? For the rest of us, as we sing this closing hymn, let's just simply reflect on the gifts that God has given us in the women in our lives, biological and otherwise related, who help us to see the glory of God as they fulfill their God-given roles. And let's commit to follow the example they give us and become more and more like the church the Lord desires us to be. Will you stand as you're able as we sing? Stand for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank You tonight. Lord, we all give You praise for the gift that You have given us in godly mothers and godly women that serve as our examples. And Lord, even in saying that, I recognize that not all of us were blessed with those types of godly examples. But Lord, still we see enough from Scripture that we know what it is that we should aspire to be with Your help as You cleanse us with the washing of the water of the Word. Lord, we give You thanks that unworthy as we are, You saw past what we are to see what we could be with Your help as You give us new life and new birth And Lord, you considered us more valuable than rubies. You considered us more valuable than even your life, and you poured out your precious blood to purchase us. Lord, help us by your Spirit to live up to that value that you've placed on us. Not because we have to earn it, Lord. It's all by grace. But Lord, simply to honor what you've done for us. May we strive in the power you give us to become like that virtuous, that strong and valiant and industrious woman whose worth is far above rubies. Lord, help us to be what you would have us to be. Because we're not capable on our own. But with God, nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, may we cling to that hope. And may we cling to you. Help us, Lord, for the glory and the honor of your name. Amen.